So, okay, this is the renewed demo with Simon Yacker related on the Office TypeScript add-in. And this is one of the samples which were released in SharePoint 365 Developer Patterns and Practices January 2016 release. We did this recording actually in the monthly community call back in, was it 12th of January? But unfortunately, there seemed to be some hardware issues or software issues which crashed the recording. And so we actually did this as a separate recording with Simon. But I'll mute myself for the majority of time, and Simon, just take it away and do a quick intro of who you are, and just let's concentrate on the code. Code is always interesting.
Thank you. All right. So my name is Simon Yeager. I work as a technical evangelist at Microsoft. I primarily focus on Office 365 development. So, for instance, getting Office add-ins into the Office Store, consumption of the Office 365 APIs, and generally anyone who's interested in using the different stacks out there to get their solutions and their ideas onto the Office 365 development space. So last month I did a very, very simple sample and a very simple contribution to the PNP Office Add-ins GitHub repository, which was about getting started and setting up your Vision Studio 2015 project for an Office add-in with TypeScript. So for those of you who don't know, TypeScript is a language that's been developed by Microsoft. And it's been around for a couple of years, and the idea of TypeScript is to essentially solve a couple of issues or challenges, if you will, that come across when we're building very sophisticated and very complex solutions using JavaScript. So if you're familiar with building add-ins and Office add-ins, you'll know that we're using web technologies to build these solutions. And what makes kind of an Office add-in is really building a web page and combining that with a manifest. So you'll probably know that we're using a lot of JavaScript and a lot of JavaScript frameworks to make things happen. And this is kind of the space where TypeScript comes in to help us out when we're building these things. Because when JavaScript, as some of you may know, was set out to be a language, it was something that would enable us to run little pieces of logic and little code snippets in our browsers. And now that we're today building very, very sophisticated solutions like single page applications that depend a lot of JavaScript, and we're using tons of JavaScript libraries to build our things, it can get quite challenging. And these challenges span across things like refactoring and maintaining code, and the fact that we're not giving a lot of information in our code to our environments have a challenge and a hard time providing us with very, very useful information. For instance, if you're like me, coming from a world of C-sharp or perhaps Java, you'll be very familiar with things like code completion and very safe refactoring and perhaps spell checking and that kind of stuff. And if you know the world of JavaScript, you know that it's a very, very dynamic world, and our environments can only do so much with that type of information, comparing for instance, a language like C#, where we're constantly giving information in our code that really helps our environments to understand what we're doing. For instance, we're giving variable type names, we're defining return types, and we're also constantly reiterating on scopes like private and public and protected to really tell our environments and our compiler what our code is supposed to do, where our code is supposed to be, and what we can expect. Things that we really can't find in the world of JavaScript. There's ways of simulating these things, but this is kind of the idea that TypeScript comes along with, essentially to dumb it down, a set of keywords into the JavaScript space that allows us to do things like classes and define scoping with private and public, and also bring types into the world of JavaScript. It's very, very worth to mention that TypeScript is a superset of JavaScript. So what it means is that it compiles back into plain JavaScript, and that in turn means that TypeScript also runs in each and every browser, it runs in each and every host, and every operating system that also deals with JavaScript. And that's very, very important because I think we all know that JavaScript and the power of JavaScript really comes from the vast magnitude of different libraries and frameworks built by the community that you can use and really speed up your development processes a lot. So all of these things still work in TypeScript because, again, it's something that compiles back into JavaScript, and that's also something that's been very, very important when bringing out and developing TypeScript itself. So again, the sample that I contributed was about getting started and setting up your Visual Studio project with TypeScript. And I'm not going to go out and download it itself. That's something you can do on your end. But what I'm going to do is simply to go ahead and kind of recreate it and show you the different steps that I'm taking to configure the project with TypeScript and look kind of a little bit behind the scenes about what's going on when we're using TypeScript in this case. So I'm going to jump over to Visual Studio 2015, and I'm going to create a new Office add-in project. So using the very default template that comes along and staying with the default parameters here, I'm not going to bother changing any of these, so I'll make a plain task pane add-in, and we'll give it a couple of seconds just to spin up and set up the projects. And if you've done this before, you'll know that we're given a basic structure of two different JavaScript files. There's one JavaScript file named app.js, which is kind of containing the logic that's supposed to span across your different pages, across your adding, like your show notification methods and that kind of stuff. And then comes along with each and every page, and in this case, there's only one page, a specific JavaScript file for that page where you're supposed to put the logic only relevant to that page itself. And the first step to get going with this is to configure your project to understand TypeScript. And what that means is to understand that when I'm writing a TypeScript file, when I'm saving it, that I need to compile that back into JavaScript so that I can use that in my web. So a very easy way to do that in Visual Studio 2015 is simply to go to one of your JavaScript files and rename it from a JavaScript file extension to a TypeScript file extension. So what I'm going to do here is to right-click the app.js file and rename this from .js to .ts. It's very, very self-explanatory, simply from a JavaScript file to a TypeScript file. It's going to trigger a prompt that's going to warn you that this file may become usable, but we can discard this error because we know what we're doing at this point. It's also going to allow us to get out to NuGet and search for what's called TypeScript typings or TypeScript type definitions, if you will. And we'll look at that in a second of what that actually is, but it could be a good thing to know that you can actually use NuGet to find these types of files. Also, I'll actually rename the last file, the last JavaScript file as well, to a TypeScript file. Now, if we get into the TypeScript file or the app.typescript, app.ts file, which contains JavaScript, again, any JavaScript is still valid TypeScript, but you'll notice that we have a couple of squiggly lines in our code suddenly. And that's because our environment is finally able to start and try to give us some information about the code. This is still JavaScript and still missing the very strongly typed language terms like types and scopes for that case, but it's already trying here. It's giving us squiggly lines under the initialize keyword here, or I'm sorry, the initialize part here of the code. And then it's also giving us squiggly lines under the dollar sign. If we look at the app object itself, it kind of makes sense that it's giving us squiggly lines here, because when we look at how we're defining it, it's a plain JavaScript object, which is essentially just empty. And in a very strongly typed language, we would probably use or solve that by defining a class or perhaps an interface to really tell our compiler and environment what is possible to do with this particular object. But given the very dynamic nature of JavaScript, we have an issue with that, and our environment has troubles with telling us what we can do with the app object here. And we'll take a look at how we can solve that with TypeScript keywords just in a second. The second part of the squiggly line is the dollar sign here that we're getting. The dollar sign is the jQuery framework, so one of the very, very popular JavaScript frameworks that you're using. And this one is actually, it comes right off the bat with an Office add-in project. So the JavaScript framework is here, but what it's telling us is that it doesn't know what it is. It can't find this. So what we need to do is to give our compiler and give TypeScript information about this library and what it can do. And a good way of doing that is by using TypeScript typings. So what I could do is to go to NuGet and search for a TypeScript typing or definition file for jQuery, or I could head to a very, very useful GitHub which is named Definitely Typed. And it contains probably hundreds and hundreds of different definition files for probably each and every JavaScript framework that you're potentially using. And there's really two ones that you want to get when you're building an Office add-in. There's the Office JS library, a definition file for the Office JS library, and there's one for jQuery. So you can simply search this repository for whichever definition files you will need. So if I go here and search for Office JS, and hopefully in a second we'll see the different files related to the Office JS definition files. What you'll usually find is a unit test file, but also you'll usually find the d.ts file, which is the definition file that you'll need to download onto your drive and put into your own project. Just take a look at this folder again. It contains the tests.ts file, which is kind of a unit test file for the library. But then there's the d.ts file, which you want to get and download to your drive, and then again put it into your own project. So I already went ahead and downloaded these two definition files. So I'm simply going to go ahead and copy those, and I'll make a new folder in my project named Typings, and paste those right in there. You'll notice that the squiggly lines for the dollar sign for jQuery goes away right away. That's because in Visual Studio 2015, we have a functionality that simply detects any definition file that comes into play, and it scans those, and it already knows what to do with them because we configured the project to actually use and understand TypeScript. And if you were using something else other than Visual Studio 2015, instead of the environment actually automatically doing this for you, you might have to add a reference from your TypeScript file to that typing or that type definition file, if you will. It's very easy in Visual Studio 2015 to create these references by simply dragging them onto your editing environment. And looking at the top, this is the way you would do it if you perhaps were writing TypeScript code and using definition files in Visual Studio Code or perhaps Sublime or any other tool of your choice. And it's a very simple reference that has a relative path to the definition file itself. And you can also reference other TypeScript files in here if you're using that along in your project. But again, since we're using Visual Studio 2015, we don't need this in this case because it does that for us. If you want to look a little quickly in a definition file, you will see that it's very much like an interface of the whole library itself. It doesn't care so much about the logic of a particular function or something like that, but it's more about how do I use this stuff and what do I need in terms of coding when dealing with this particular function. And now that I inputted or pasted these definition files and the squiggly lines under the dollar sign disappeared, I can go ahead and use jQuery. And let me switch my keyboard. Copy that instead. And start listing and get intelligence and get information about that dollar sign, about jQuery in this case. And I can also pull up a parentheses here and start seeing the different overloads that you will find when using jQuery. And I also imported the Office.js framework, and I can use that namespace and walk through the different functions and different properties that I can find in the Office.js framework. So it's a very good way of remembering functions or actually finding functions if you don't remember them, and also listing different overloads of functions instead of having to pop open a reference documentation, which you'll usually find yourself doing when dealing with JavaScript. And if we get back to the file itself, it was plain JavaScript, and we're not really introducing any TypeScript keywords or features in this code. So I already went ahead and did that, and this is what also is kind of the main part of the contributed sample itself, which is a rewritten version of the app.js file into the app.ts. And it's not entirely different. It's just a couple of different things. For instance, you'll notice that we're using a class keyword to define that this is a class. And the way TypeScript works is that it combines and brings these keywords that we're familiar with from a very strongly typed programming language world and brings that onto JavaScript. Now, in JavaScript, there's different ways of simulating a class-like behavior, and that's kind of what a TypeScript file, in the end, is compiled into. But we're also given things like scoping with private and public keywords. We have the two different functions that were originally there. The logic is all the same, but it's defined with TypeScript keywords. So if, for instance, looking at the show notification function, you'll notice that we're bringing in the same parameters, but we're also adding a little part, which is the type of that parameter value. And that finally is giving our tool and environment a very good way of knowing for sure what we're expecting to input into this function for it to actually work in a good way. If this was in JavaScript itself, our tool would only be able to kind of guess and assume things, perhaps based on what we've written before, that maybe you're inputting the wrong type, maybe you're spelling this wrong, but with TypeScript, we'll know for a fact if something is wrong or right. So to demonstrate that, let me get into the home TypeScript file, and if I look at the, first of all, in the reference, it references the JavaScript file, but if you change that to the TypeScript file, and we'll type app and a dot, we'll simply be able to list which of these different functions are available on the app object. And if I get into the show notification function, you'll notice that it's telling me that the types of the different parameters that I can input here, but also if I type in the wrong parameter value types, it'll also be able to tell me that, hey, the type of Boolean, it's not assignable to the parameter of a type string. And it's really able to do this for sure because we told in the app.ts file that we're expecting strings to actually get in here. So it's a very good way of making sure that our code becomes maintainable and that we're not doing very, very simple mistakes that is very easily can very easily slip by when we're dealing with JavaScript. And that's also is something that that kind of creates the phenomenon of read-only JavaScript files when we're having, you know, JavaScript files that are thousands and thousands of lines long and we don't have an understanding of what's going on. That becomes very scary to edit. But if this were to be a TypeScript file, we can be sure what we're doing. We can be sure that we're doing very safe refactoring and making sure that we're writing very good quality code in this case. And if we look at what's going on under the hood when we save and build this, we can see what's actually happening. So in here, what's created is actually two different files. So apart from the TypeScript file itself, there's also the JavaScript file, which again is simulating the different behaviors kind of that the community has defined through patterns and practices to achieve different things. Like in this case where the app in TypeScript was using a class keyword, we're using a function scope to simulate a class-like behavior in this case. What's also actually generated is also a mapping file, which can be used by linking the TypeScript file and JavaScript file together when we're, for instance, debugging. So in this case, we can really have a good experience in staying within our TypeScript file when also we're debugging in this case. One thing I want to show you is also the fact that we, when we configured our project to use TypeScript, we can head into the properties in Visual Studio and find the TypeScript build tab to the left. And in here, you can toggle different things and alter the way your TypeScript is compiled. You can also change which ECMAScript version that you want to compile for. You can set up for these source maps to be generated. You can also make sure to generate declaration files for these TypeScript typings, if you will. So if I check that box and save this project and also build it to be very sure, there's a d.ts file along with other files that has been generated, which simply contains the definition, the typings of that class that I wrote in this case. So if you want to learn more about TypeScript and see how it works, and if you're perhaps familiar with C# or JavaScript, there's a great page which is kind of the home page for TypeScript, which is the TypeScriptLang.org page. There's also a handbook in here if you want to just see keywords and see how to use them. So it's a great place to get started if you want to look more into TypeScript in this case. And alongside with the actual sample itself, which is contributed to the GitHub repository, there's also a blog post that I wrote, which is linked from that GitHub repository, that walks you through these different steps in a little bit more detail so that you can follow along by reading the blog post. And that's kind of the sample itself. It's super simple. I would really, from my point of view, there's no reason not to use TypeScript, even if you're a JavaScript lover. It's only going to add value to your coding experience. And if you're coming from perhaps a C# world, this is a good way of having a bridge into the web world, where it could be a bit uncomfortable and intimidating to getting into this very dynamic nature of JavaScript and the web world. So thank you. This is the sample, and it's available, and you can check it out at any time.
Thank you, Simon. Excellent sample, and really, well, personally, I really like also that we're having these simplistic samples as well, because we need to remember that there's a lot of people out there who are moving into this new technology. So yes, this is a great stepping stone for them, yes, to really realize that, okay, this is how it's done. Great. Now I can learn the additional stuff. So really, yeah, really great contribution.
Thank you.
Cool. I think it's time to close up this recording. Thank you, Simon, once again for re-recording the demo. And this is actually, this was a good chance to do a slightly longer demo as well, which is great. And thank you for anybody who's watching the video online.
Thank you.